Prologue. The Prophet.
"This way, my lord,"
the Chosen says in a hushed voice, gesturing for a hooded figure to follow him into a tunnel. He holds a flickering torch aloft, which casts a garish light in the confined space, revealing that he, like the rest of the Chosen, is bound from head to foot in pitch-black robes. His eyes glitter behind his lacquered mask as he regards his superior with eager intent.
"The viewing chamber is not much farther."
The Prophet nods in acknowledgement, ducking down as they make their way into a stinking sewer. Even with the floor of the tunnel dredged out, they have to remain hunched in order to avoid hitting their heads on the rough-hewn stone.
"Please forgive the location of this meeting, my lord," the Chosen says as they make their way beneath the city. "Increased monitoring from the Conclave has forced us to seek out less desirable locales."
"The location does not matter," the Prophet replies with no emotion as his foot splashes into something foul. "What matters is that the speakers managed to establish two-way communication with the Great Prince. I hope, for their sakes, that this does not turn out to be another failure. I'm sure the Prince was not pleased the last time we spoke. I don't want us to fail him again and have our communications end so abruptly."
"No, my lord. I mean, yes, my lord."
The Chosen stumbles over his words as he tries to explain himself.
"The speakers are working very hard to not disappoint you or the Prince."
The Prophet nods, and they continue in silence, creeping through tunnels and delving further below the streets of Tarsus, their way lit only by crackling torches. The Prophet sinks into his own thoughts as they descend deep within the bowels of the city.
"It is risky gathering together like this. We six are the most elite and trusted of the Harbingers, but the reward will be well worth the risk. All of us know what we're getting into and exactly what's at stake. The salvation of our souls and the very mission of our religion hangs in the balance."
His thoughts take a dark turn.
"If we don't make true contact tonight, then I fear we will be destroyed. There weren't many of us to begin with, and now with the mages and the watch intervening, it's only a matter of time before our places of sanctuary are discovered and our members unmasked and executed. The Church of Light does not take well to heretics."
They turn around a bend and are confronted by yet another tunnel leading downward. Their feet disturb puddles of stagnant water as they cautiously continue on their way.
"We're coming under more scrutiny, and the net is closing in. One of our men even ran afoul of nightingales, of all things. They tortured and killed him before dumping his body in an alleyway."
The Prophet grimaces at the memory of his mutilated corpse.
"We don't have room for mistakes. The last time we made contact with the Great One, we could only hear his voice from beyond. The spell is a complicated one, and the speakers were able to maintain a connection for just a short time before it failed us once again. The Prince has masterful plans. If the fates are just, then tonight we will know everything that we must do in order to fulfill his great objective."
Eventually, the two emerge from the cramped tunnel, stepping into a vast chamber made of stone, its walls lined with torches. A smoldering brazier rests in the middle of the large circular room, casting long shadows behind a ring of hooded men standing around it. As the Prophet enters, the men all turn and bow down in respect. He raises his hand, motioning them to stand, then takes a deep breath, preparing himself for what he knows is coming.
"Is everything ready?"
he asks, his voice reverberating off the stone walls.
"Yes, my lord Prophet,"
one of the men replies. He points to the brazier with a gloved hand.
"We are preparing the ritual now."
The Prophet nods.
"Excellent. Continue as you were."
The men, all clad in red robes and masks instead of the customary black, resume their positions in the circle, chanting with low, muffled voices in a long-forgotten language. They are the speakers, the highest among the chosen, apart from the prophet himself, and their job is simple: to make contact with those living beyond the Ark. The prophet and his retinue gather quietly behind the speakers, waiting for the connection to be made. As he stands there listening to their foreign words with only half an ear, he begins to ponder the implications of what they are about to do. If the speakers manage to make this connection again and keep it, then the very foundations of the kingdom will be shaken. Actually, the prophet thinks, tilting his head in thought, we will probably shake the heavens themselves. As if in answer to his thoughts, a sound like thunder abruptly fills the chamber, rumbling the stones and causing everyone to look up in surprise. A rift of violent green energy suddenly appears in the air above the speakers' heads, twisting and thrumming with an otherworldly power. It looks like a whirlpool suspended above the brazier, and heat radiates from it like the fury of the sun itself. The prophet sinks to his knees, prompting everyone else to follow suit, and lifts his hands up in the rapture of the moment as they all take in the marvelous display of demonic magic. Could it be? The prophet thinks to himself, unable to suppress a grin. Have the speakers finally done it? Will I finally see the visage of this Great One face to face? Features begin to materialize in the swirling pattern of light, forming from a dark shadow and coalescing into the shape of a man. No, the prophet realizes with awe, not a man. The floating head is robust in its shape, with a firm brow and powerful jawline. The flesh is white-gray, the color of ash, and it's pulled tightly over an angular skull, making it devoid of any wrinkle or blemish. From the top of the head, horns greater and more elaborate than any gorgons twist up like black crown, but the eyes are what hold the prophet's attention as he stares up in wonder. Smoldering orbs, like twin rubies, stare out at the group with an appraising air as if silently weighing the very value of their souls. Oh, great Asmodeus, Prince of Darkness, the prophet utters, bowing down before the magnificent deity. Your humble servants await your further commands. The unfathomable being regards the prophet for a moment, the prince's face a mask of contemplation before bellowing a response. With whom do I speak? His voice is like the sound of rushing winds. The Harbingers, and I am their prophet, he replies humbly. We are the Doombringers. Our sole purpose is to hasten the last days by offering Tarsinium up to the Valar. We are here to serve you, Prince of Darkness. Again the demonic prince seems to consider the words of the prophet, pausing for just a moment. It is well, Asmodeus replies, his lips turning up in a smile of satisfaction. Many centuries have passed since man has managed to stand before me. Arise, mortal. The prophet gets to his feet as the other chosen do the same. Our enemies have sought to destroy us, but we still remain, he says, gesturing at those around him. My deepest apologies for our shortcomings the last time we spoke, my prince. Asmodeus nods almost imperceptibly and flicks his ruby eyes around the room before settling back on the prophet.
The time has come, then. My armies thirst for the blood of your people.
Yes, he replies solemnly, bowing his head.
The time has come.
The Prince of Darkness chuckles, his smile widening into a triumphant grin.
My brothers have long since abandoned this little world, having already harvested most of its resources. But I knew that one day the rest of the humans would be mine. The Ark of Radiance is failing. I can feel it. As we speak, my children are testing its weaknesses, finding places to slip through the cracks. We shall provide for you the means to hasten its demise, lest the mages discover a way to strengthen it once more.
The prophet takes an eager step forward, his eyes cast up at the shimmering rift.
We are here to serve you, my prince. Anything you desire, it shall be done. We are ready to do your bidding, to set out upon and fulfill the great task you have placed before us.
Asmodeus is quiet for a moment, his gaze pressing like an impossible weight on the prophet.
Come to the borders of your kingdom, to the place you humans call the Emberwood. There I will bestow upon you a great gift. My armies cannot yet come through in force, but with your aid we will eliminate your magical barriers and tear your cities down, brick by brick.
The prophet bows, falling to his knees once more.
It will be done, my prince. I swear it. We will make for the border at once.
See that you do.
Asmodeus replies solemnly.
Eternal suffering awaits you if you fail. But if you succeed, you will be rewarded more than your mortal minds can possibly comprehend.
With that, the rift fades, the green energy dissipating until the chamber is once again cast in shadows. The Chosen all rush to the prophet's side as soon as it is gone, talking excitedly about what has just transpired. Their leader puts up a hand, motioning for them to be silent.
Notify the Chosen at once, he commands, brushing the dust from off of his cloak. Tell them to prepare themselves for a great journey. We must leave this city at once.
Hooded heads all around him nod in agreement, and he observes them as they scurry off to do his bidding. The prophet's mind races, going over the things the Prince of Darkness had told him. The end days are truly upon us, he thinks, taking a torch from one of the men and slowly walking to the tunnel exit.
At long last, our work here is almost over.
He pauses before climbing from the room, glancing over his shoulder at the brazier. His eyes linger on the spot where the prince's head had been just moments before.
Pray that I don't falter in the days to come.
Shivering, he ducks his head into the tunnel and begins to make his way back to the surface.